Welcome to the Generations Radio Program. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. It turns out I'm a real guy, and I have real issues myself. And so does Dave. Dave, I think you have more issues than I do. Dave's also a father of five, lives about 10 miles from my house out here in Elbert County, Colorado. And Dave, we like to sit around and talk about the real issues of life, and it's not like we're immune from any of them.
No, I think I have many more issues. I'm a guy laden with issues. Yeah. Let me tell you about the issues I have.
No professionals here, no lawyers, no politicos, no psychiatrists. Nobody with a PhD, EDD, maybe a couple of MDivs, but ladies and gentlemen, just a couple of guys in studio trying to figure out how to do faith, family, and maybe a little freedom in the 21st century where we're losing these values. And we're here broadcasting in the dead of winter. And Dave, winter can be a depressing time. And I want to talk about depression a little bit because a lot of people dealing with it right now. Number one, you've got a depression happening in the economy. Okay, it's still a recession, maybe a depression. I guess it becomes a depression if everybody walks around looking glum. Then it becomes a depression. It's interesting we use the word depression when the economy fails because maybe our hearts are pretty much connected to the economy. But, okay, you've got cold winter days. People are discouraged. Christmas is over. You've got the post-Christmas letdown. And you've been cooped up with your family for a long, long, long time. These sorts of things produce, I don't know, sort of a depressing atmosphere in a lot of homes.
Well, Kevin, it's like you plan all year to go on a fantastic family vacation. You save your money, your expectations are high, you load everybody in the car, you hop in the plane, and before you know it, it's over. Now you get back home, the house is a mess, you're behind in work, and vacation is not just gone. It didn't quite live up to your expectations.
So you know,
and now
say,
what do you do?
You know what they say, a vacation is 2 weeks that are too short, after which you are too tired to return to work, and too broke not to.
So, you know, a lot of people were looking forward to a special Christmas this year, maybe a lot of love, a little family gathering, and, you know, they've ended up not getting along with their parents or their children were misbehaving. They didn't get the thank yous they want. They didn't get the presents under the tree. And you know what? It's kind of a letdown now, isn't it? And, you know, I think that we're getting braced for a few other letdowns. We elected this guy who we thought was the son of God, Obama, here, and it turns out he's just a guy, and he's letting us down left and right. He's been a big disappointment. I am so disappointed right now with the economy, with this time of year. Even the big blizzards that come aren't as big as they predict. Come on. What are we going to do now?
Dave, what's the cause of all of this, though? It begins with ourselves, doesn't it? I mean, it begins with our own expectations for heaven on earth. And, of course, we're not going to get that. And it begins with this idea that somehow the idols of materialism, the idols of vacation, the idols of self-entertaining of cultural expressions and so forth are going to be ultimately satisfying. Now, after it all, it turned out it wasn't satisfying. And sometimes we do the same thing with our relationships. We assume the relationships that we have with our families are going to be the most satisfying things and will make life incredibly fulfilling for us. But as it turns out, it really doesn't, because we were created in the image of God for a relationship with the living God. And there is, as somebody once said, a God-shaped vacuum in every person's heart. And it's very true. If we don't have a relationship with God, and if our expectations aren't wrapped up with God, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, we're going to be sadly disappointed with this world. And our gods are going to be letting us down. In fact, sometimes our gods will beat us to death.
Well, you can say that again. You know, you reach for a little heaven on earth. You go for that little angel food, some of those cookies at Christmas time. Yeah, and they taste good for the moment, but now what? Now we're 20 pounds overweight, and we're going to have to spend the next 4 months trying to get off that little bit of heaven that we got with angel food cake. You know, at some point, the devil's food tastes a little bit sweeter.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, talking about depression, people just a little bit low right now. Just not into it. Not into work, not into life, not really into worship. Just kind of depressed. Maybe even family worship at a low ebb right now in your homes. Well, we're going to talk about what to do about that. In just a moment on Generations, couple dads in studio. Be back in a moment.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio Program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Welcome back to Generations. This is Generations, and my name is Eeyore.
Kevin, you sound pretty glum. You're even bringing me down.
Am I?
Yeah.
It's my birthday. It's the happiest day of the year.
Oh, you're just pretending. You probably had a perfect Christmas. Your kids are gorgeous and beautiful and shining little angels.
Yeah, right. Right. You've been in the wrong home. You've been dreaming, my friend.
Yeah, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's a depressing time of year. It's winter. I'm just sitting around the studio thinking about what a bummer life is. And Dave, you know, a lot of this is tied into, I think, the fact that there's a self-orientation here. You know, we're fixated on self, and sometimes coming out of the Christmas season where you have pretty much indulged yourself in just about everything you can imagine, and it's all over, and it's the day after, and you've got indigestion, and you got to lose the 20 pounds, as you mentioned. Yeah, it's a little depressing. I mean, number one, you did not get what you thought you were going to get out of life. You thought you were going to get heaven, and you didn't get heaven. And then the day after, the morning after, it really didn't feel that good. It felt even worse than it did the day before. And you're kind of recovering from your vacation, which didn't meet all of the expectations that you had for it, because you were expecting something akin to heaven, and you don't get that on earth. And I think it really ties into the fact that we are very much fixated on ourselves, especially during the Christmas season. And that should not be the case at all. And I think I've said this before on the radio show. In our home, we try to give more than we get. We try to serve orphans. We write letters to guys, martyrs, Christians in prison around the world. And we try to give to the widow and the orphan during the month of December. And we find that as you give, life is a lot more delightful. There's much more rejoicing.
You know, you give to your children, and they open it up, and they're not grateful. In fact, children end up reflecting my very own sins. So how can I not fixate on myself? They're acting like me half of the time. I thought I taught them better than that, but no, they just want to reflect my own sins back. So I think, yeah, it's good. Give to the widows and the orphans. Just write letters overseas. At least you don't see their ingratitude.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the other thing is that as we are fixated on ourselves, we become rather miserable. But as we give to others, you know, life becomes more worthwhile. Moreover, I think sometimes in vacation times we're not working and we're just sitting around, and that gives us more opportunity to think about ourselves. As I think somebody once said, the idle brain is the devil's playground. And, you know, people get back to work, they're usually happier.
You know, when you go on a vacation, imagine yourself on a tropical island beach, and you're sitting there in the lawn chair in the sun soaking it up, and someone brings you the drink in the little coconut shell with the umbrella over it. Now suddenly you're discontent because they didn't make your drink the way you wanted. That's a lot what discontentment is about. Rather than be grateful for the circumstances that you're in, you're discontent because they did not put the right amount of ice in your little coconut drink with the umbrella.
Right, which means your expectations were again, heaven on earth. Your expectations were, this person's here to serve me, and I'm going to be served as the God of the world here. And in the end, your expectations fell. Your gods once again disappointed you. And, Dave, I think the whole discontentment problem comes from a lack of gratitude, and also from the fact that when you rejoice, rejoicing itself is more about gratitude than it is about the fleshly experience, the fleshly enjoyment of the food or the drink or what have you. Rejoicing is far more about the gratitude back to God than it was about you getting pleased and sitting there and being the God of the world who has received all this pleasure. And I think that's the problem with much of the rejoicing that's involved in vacations and holidays. People wind up enjoying a little of the good things that God has given them, but they don't see that the cap to the rejoicing, the real substance to the rejoicing, is looking up to God and saying, God, having a good time down here, thanks very much. And having that relationship with God, knowing that God is very good, knowing that God as a father is smiling down at you, and then looking up in that relational sense and saying, thank you, God, I'm really enjoying this. So the relational aspect of the rejoicing is essential. It's sort of like the best part of our opening the presents. And we do give presents in our home. And the best part of the presents is when I open a present last night that Abigail gave me, and it was from Abigail, my youngest daughter, sweet, sweet little Abigail, and she gave me this this box of chocolates, okay, and with the cherries in them, you know what I'm talking about? And she gave this wonderful little box of chocolates. She knows it's Dad's favorite, and she picked the dark chocolate, okay, so which is key.
Well, it's got more antioxidants in it.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, but the best part of that wasn't opening it, and it really wasn't eating the chocolates. The best part of it was running over to Abigail and giving her a big daddy hug and saying thank you and seeing her smile. And she did the same thing for me when I gave her the present. She, you know, her eyes lighted up. She looked at me. She said, thank you, Daddy. She ran up to me and gave me the hug. See, the best part of it was not really the gift. You with me here, Dave? The best part of it was the heart. The best part of it was the relationship. The best part of it was the gratitude. The best part of it was the love that is shared between the giver and the receiver.
Yeah, but I think so much ingratitude is caused by what we're looking at. Many times we're looking at what we didn't get, what our situation is, but we're not looking at it realistically. And we're looking around us and we're seeing that we're in the slough of despond and there's all this horrible stuff around us and there's the economy's fallen and a socialist is in office and my children aren't perfect and my wife is not as beautiful as she used to be and I'm not making as much money and my hair is falling out, I'm getting fat, oh, woe is me. Okay, now let's talk about reality.
Which is true pretty much about you. Dave,
we already said I have more issues.
Okay, all right. We covered
I have
that.
More issues.
Good
and job. I want to thank the audience for being my therapist here.
Okay, very good. Well, carry on, Dave. Carry on.
The reality is that God is holy, and we have offended him. Yeah. And the very fact that he gives us another day to live is an act of infinite mercy. Now, beyond him giving us another day to live in infinite mercy, he gives us children and wives and health to the extent that we have it. All of these things are blessings that we don't deserve. So whether we're eating oyster stew on Christmas Eve or whether we're eating just a few baked beans because that's all we can afford, it is still something we didn't deserve. In no way. So what do we have but eternal gratitude for the God who loved us enough not only not to smite us because of our sin, but to save us in our sin and then provide richly for us until glorification.
What you're saying, Dave, is perspective is everything. And you're right. Perspective is everything. See, what you just gave us, the listening audience, was perspective. You know, okay, yeah, some bad things happening, but guy, it's 99% full, okay? The cup is 99% full and 1% empty. You know, we were focused on that 1% empty, but you just said, let's back up for a second. Just back up. Come on, everybody back up. Back up, back up, back up. I want you to look at the entire cup. All right? Now, who are you and who is God? God is very good. You've sinned against him, but he is good still. And he has given us a redemption in Christ. I mean, let's look at the bigger picture here. And that's very, very, very important. Dave, we don't want to deny the fact that human beings go through tough times.
Well, they do. And I'm thinking of Pilgrim's Progress here. As Pilgrim walked through the Slough of Despond, it was an icky swamp. And he was worried about his circumstances. And the more he looked down, of course, the worse his circumstances got. He fell into the Slough of Despond and almost drowned. He was instructed to keep his eyes not on where his feet were being placed, but rather on the light off yonder at the wicket gate. When we take our eyes off of ourselves and we put them on something more eternal, something more important, when we put our treasures in heaven, then that's where we're looking. Now we're going to see the circumstances right. Now, are we going to worry that there's another stepping stone in this Slough of Despond, in this world of sin? Well, if that's what our worry is, we're going to fall into the slough because that's where our eyes are. We are going to move in the direction of where we're looking. So we need to stop looking at the circumstances of ick around us and start looking at the gratitude in the one who gives us the benefits. That is the God Almighty of the universe.
And Dave, how important it is to have that perspective of hope that this too must end. You know, yeah, we are going through some tough times. And, you know, I've had a tough year myself in many ways. This has been a discouraging year. I've been up against some personal struggles in my own life, some discontentment in my own life, some physical ailments in my own life. I mean, it's been a tough year. It's been probably the toughest year we've had, certainly Brenda and I going through a number of different trials, probably the most difficult year we've had in our marriage. Not necessarily the marriage itself, but just the fact that we have been through a lot of trials together. And what has helped me is to remember that this too shall end. I mean, the hill difficulty at some point is over. At some point, we are through the land of enchantment. At some point, we're through the valley of the shadow of death. At some point, we're going to be on the other side of the valley of humiliation. At some point, we'll be out of Vanity Fair, and we can get on to other things. At some point, we will be over the river. And again and again, throughout that pilgrim journey, in Pilgrim's Progress, you have the Christian looking at the light that is gleaming over yonder hill, and he can see that the celestial city awaits him. And I think it's very important that we be men and women of hope. And Dave, let's talk about hope. Hope is the assumption, the faith, the believing, the confidence that something is going to happen that is far better than what we have. And herein lies the difference between fear and faith. As we look into the future as Christians, we don't look at it in a fearful sense. Now, fear looks at the future expecting something bad to happen. Faith looks into the future expecting something good to happen. You see, that's the difference. They're both expecting something to happen. And everybody has a future perspective in what they're doing. And as they move forward in fear, they're expecting something negative to happen. As Christians, we expect something positive to happen. Not to say that there won't be some challenges to get through as we see God working good in our lives. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. So we believe that what will happen will be a good thing, but it's not to say there won't be some clouds and some rain and some difficult days in order for that good to come about. So even if we accomplish something and it yields some negative fruit, we can still say that God will use these negative experiences to accomplish something good in our lives. So we're constantly looking forward in faith to what God has for us, and even if we're going through some tough times, some negative experiences, God will bring something good out of it. We believe that.
And our hope is different than the way the world defines hope. I mean, in the world, they say, I hope I win the lottery, which means you really want to, and maybe you bought a ticket. But you don't have a reason for that hope. I mean, your odds of winning that are, you know, 1 in 100 million or something like that. No, we have a reason for the hope that is within us, and that reason is based on real faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is a person who is faithful to his word. We have reasons. Our hope is solid. It isn't just some little nebulous cloud that we'll never attain. It is something that is real, and we believe sincerely that celestial city we will be citizens of rather shortly.
And what does Psalm 42 say? I love Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for he is thy help. He is the help of thy countenance and thy God. And Dave, boy, that's got to resound in the hearts and minds of every single person out there going through a depressing time right now. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. God has something wonderful for us awaiting, and even the life that we live will be a life filled with fulfillment and sanctification and growth and meaning. And we believe this because there is a God, and He cares about us, and He loves us.
And that's so important, is that the object of our hope has to be rightly placed. If we place our hope in vacations, in presents, in holidays, and all the little trinkets of this world, we will be sorely disappointed. If we place our hope in the experiences, we will find that they are cruel masters. But if we place our hope in nothing less than Jesus Christ's righteousness, we will not be disappointed. And in fact, we will be more than conquerors in this world.
All right. Now, sometimes I think depression is also rooted in the fact that people are living lives in the past. They haven't gotten past the sins and the failures that have gone before them. And they're still mired in depression over regret and over offenses that they've taken from others. And they just live these horribly depressing lives because, number one, they're living those lives of regret. They're carrying the guilt from past sins. And so the first thing I say is go to the cross of Christ and leave those sins at the cross of Christ, and then get up and live a life of repentance. Christians don't live lives of regret. They live lives of repentance. They change. They change their patterns because they love God, because they believe in the power of Christ's death and resurrection over sin. So I encourage people to faith and repentance, Dave, which is future-oriented. Repentance and faith is future-oriented. Fear and regret is past-oriented. It's oriented towards the negative. It's oriented towards faithlessness. And so the other thing is if you're depressed over what people have done to you, if bitterness is causing you great sorrow and depression in your life, well, take their sins to the cross, too. Say, God, as long as I'm dumping my sins here, and my sins were hell-deserving sins, they were horrific things that I have offended you, I'm going to leave the sins of my brothers and sisters, or those unbelievers that have sinned against me, I'm going to leave those sins here too, and I'm not going to let them create bitterness and feelings of vengefulness in my heart towards others anymore.
Yeah, people are going to regret because they could not see the future. They did not take advantage of the opportunities that were present. They didn't cash out their investments before the market crashed. They did some sins. They had a failure here. They didn't love their wife when they had the opportunity the way that they know they ought to. And they're also going to have some bitterness because other people have sinned against them. And yet both, we have to understand, are fixed. We can't change the past. The past is written. We can't go back and take advantage of that opportunity that's past. We can't go back and undo the sin, the harsh words we spoke to our children. We can't undo the sins people have offended us with. However, what happens tomorrow, we do have some control over. And so we know that today is the day that we go to the cross of Jesus Christ. And we ask God to give us hearts to forgive those who have offended us and to love them. We might not be able to change their behavior. They may continue to sin against us. So what? So what do I have control over? I have control over what I can do. What I can do today and what I can do tomorrow. If I focus on that, I'm not going to be looking at the past. I'm rather going to be looking at hope in the future.
And Dave, what better message can we communicate to our children than the example of repentance? Of change, and that's future-oriented. Yeah, okay, the past was a mess, kids. The past was a mess, and we're not going to dwell on the past anymore. We will be a family of future-oriented hope and confidence that God will work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure, and that God is worth hoping in. God is worth believing in. We're going to live lives of hope and joy and gratitude and repentance before God. And my friends, that's not depressing. That's not depressing. I hope we've changed your perspective a little bit. I hope we've been able to back you up a little bit and take a look at the real issues at stake. Do you have idols in your life? Have they been disappointing to you? Well, maybe you're believing the wrong things. Maybe you're trusting the wrong things. Maybe you're hoping in the wrong things. Hope thou in God, for he is the help of our countenance and our God. We got to believe that, my friends. We got to believe that and teach it to our children. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can support the program by just simply going to kevinswanson.com and click on Support This Program today. We have 62 sponsors, and we would like to have 120 sponsors to keep this radio program on the air. So if you would like to support this radio program, your donations are tax deductible, and you can send in the donations today at kevinswanson.com, or just call toll-free 877-842-2432 to support this radio program. Again, that's 877-842-2432 to sponsor our radio broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Get your friends and family members to tune into us at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.